Privyet, comrades. After a 30-year campaign, Formula One meets along the Black Sea at the recent Winter Olympic host resort town of Sochi for the inaugural Grand Prix of Russia. This newly constructed $200 million Sochi Autodrome actually circumvents the streets around the futuristic Olympic Park buildings for 3.6 miles, making it the third longest circuit. It will pass the skating and curling centers before funneling up behind the pit paddock toward the train station and completing a circuit with a 180-degree bend. There are 12 right and 6 left-hand corners, which combines both high-speed and technical sections. The cars are expected to reach a maximum speed of 190 miles per hour on the straight between the first and second turns, with an average lap speed of around 133 miles an hour, if the chassis can gain grip on the new smooth surface. We start the race much as we have most of the season, with the two Mercedes drivers at the front. And if either of them win, then Mercedes-Benz AMG will clinch the Constructors' Championship. For the drivers, every point counts, as this is one of the last four races of the season. Who will be receiving the grand prize from Putin and be making history? And whose race result will be Stalin? Put on a shish kebab, savor some sloyanka, and stay tuned, comrade listeners. This is Desiree, the Tsarina of F1. And this is your F1 Weekly Russian Grand Prix Racecast. До свидания.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 666, October 13th. 2014. Nasser?
Greetings and championship regards. A century of success for Mercedes in Russia, and they celebrate with a lady from Port Arthur, Texas. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes? Back to you, Mr. Benz of podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Mercedes-Benz takes the Constructors' Championship. It's confirmed. Clark Rogers will stay at F1Weekly.com for an undisclosed amount of moolah. And Pirelli says, it's not our fault. Fans fell asleep. Stay tuned for Motorsports Mondial with the King, and we've got 50 words from the F1 Weekly Forum on the Grand Prix de Russie. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you. Fantastic new avenue, sort of a mix between Valencia and Abu Dhabi, but a very dull and boring race, I have to say.
And we don't say that very much, but I have to admit, I haven't been feeling well for the past few days, and I told my doctor I had a bit of insomnia, and certainly he prescribed Russian Grand Prix twice a day with plenty of fluids.
I.e. vodka. Well, you know, after the sadness we all felt, at the conclusion of the Japanese Grand Prix, it was good to see a safe race take place at yet another new venue in the ever-expanding empire of Bernie Ecclestone. Comrade Putin was at the race, which can only help in the popularity of motorsports and Formula One in particular in Russia. And I have to say, you know, shortly before the start of the race, this nice silent tribute they had, that all the drivers, Jean Todt, Bernie, and other dignitaries had for Jules Bianchi, it was touching. It was nice.
It was very nice, very moving. And thank goodness Jules Bianchi is not forgotten.
Exactly.
But yes, it was boring. not exciting. I'm afraid, you know, I don't want to break the news, but I think it's going to be the same for the next Grand Prix.
Why do you say that?
Well, I think it's going to be Nico Rosberg, Lewis Hamilton on the front row, and everybody else really doesn't matter anymore.
Well, one thing for sure, we're not going to have rain in Abu Dhabi, but, you know, Interlagos can be a surprise.
You think we'll have rain in Austin, Texas?
Well, they had huge rainfall during the sports car race a few weeks ago.
I know.
I think sun will be shining on Formula One in Texas.
Yeah, I believe that too. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I think Lewis Hamilton's got this in the bag. It's a done deal. Toto is happy. Mercedes, you know, I don't know. I kept falling asleep and I was going in and out of a daze. And all of a sudden I was in Stalingrad and the Germans were coming. But I don't know. Mercedes winning in Russia. I don't think Putin was that excited about it.
You're saying it's tied. Championship is all, you know, tied up for Lewis. There are still 100 points up for grabs, but Pretty Boy Floyd is now. He's under pressure now.
You think he's under pressure?
Oh yeah.
I don't know.
He's going now.
Too much pressure.
Yeah. This kid is cracking now.
He is cracked. It's done. He's cracked. His father is going to take him to the woodshed again. There's going to be a lot of disappointment in Monaco while they're having their champagne and their caviar.
You know, Nico has not won a race since the German Grand Prix, and that's when LCH started at the back. So, and that was in July. So LCH is coming on strong.
He left the bling bling in Los Angeles.
I had a very interesting, like a reportage that...
Yeah.
Rumor has that both Nando and Sebastian Vettel are going to McLaren.
Yeah, I've heard everything. No, I think Nando's going to be on the Tour de France next year.
No, I think he'll be in Formula One.
You believe that?
I think, yeah. It's too good of a talent to take a time off.
Alain Prost took time off, came back, and won a world championship.
Yeah, and the next year when they told him who will be your teammate, he said, no mas.
And that's what Fernando says. So,
yeah, those were the days, Clark.
Those were the days. It was exciting. People were happy. Now, Mercedes front row every weekend. It's okay. I'll get over it.
Well, it was Red Bull last year, and these things happen, you know.
Exactly. And everybody complained about Red Bull last year.
And once upon a time, I used to see Mile 7 on the front row all the time.
That was a long time ago, Nasser.
But you did not complain back then, senor.
Of course I didn't complain. I celebrated every day.
I know.
So, it is what it is. These 20-year intervals take time. I'm fine.
Yes. What did you think of the track, by the way?
The track was okay. I thought it looked good from the tele. I think none of the drivers were that excited about it. You know, I think the only drivers that were excited were the ones that were winning.
Well, that's normally the case. But it was a well-put-together event, and it looked very nice. It was like a mix of Valencia and Abu Dhabi, seaside there, and it was nice. I was very impressed, and I'm going to tell you why. A few years ago, they opened this Moscow Raceway, and the first event there was a World Series of by Renault event, and I was in touch with Lars Kaufmann. You know, they run a team in Formula Renault 2-liter. And boy, they had a lot of problem. No electricity, no water at the hotel. I mean, it was a pretty sad scene. So this one was looking very good.
No, I thought the grid girls looked really good too.
Yeah, the Bushkas are debonair sometimes.
Yes, absolutely. I thought it was outstanding. I enjoyed the track. I always enjoy all Formula One races, Nasser.
Yes, and you know, I'm always pleased when they have these grid girls or, you know, these official ladies who are dressed in sort of a, you know, national costume, you know.
Absolutely. They all look like Santa Claus to me.
No, it gives a nice flavor of the place you're going to, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. I enjoyed it. I thought it was terrific.
Anything more you want to say on this?
Not really. The season's winding down, and to be honest with you, you know, I didn't get a chance to watch qualifying because I knew what was going to happen for me. I knew Lewis Hamilton would get pole. I think Lewis Hamilton now, with this kind of car, I think he's become the pole meister. I think Mercedes and Lewis Hamilton have gelled into one mean fighting machine. So I see no more surprises till the end of the season. I mean, what a big surprise. Mercedes won the world champion, the Constructors' Championship. We all see the points.
Yeah, but you know, it takes a lot of hard work to get there. Remember when they had Michael Schumacher and Nico Rosberg, and what a sad story that was.
That was a sad story. It takes time. It takes baby steps.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll keep all my bitterness inside.
And now Mercedes is saying, hey, we have the rules and we're not going to change in mid-October. Deal with it, baby.
I love that. Eins, zwei, drei, vier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. No engine freeze for you, you stupid.
Oh, yeah.
Did I get that right?
Absolutely, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much. Which is, well, I'm not going to get involved. There you have it. So, did you enjoy qualifying?
Yes, Clark. I enjoy all forms of motorsports, whether they are collie, practice, just running around, straight run, at Biggin Hill, or whatever. If it's motorsports, sound, big noise, I love it. I just hope with, you know, they bring back that some of the old sound, and then I'm going to be, you know, 190% happy with Formula One.
That's not going to happen, Nasser. Formula One is going to get quieter and quieter and quieter.
Well, when we are in our 70s, it may be okay then.
It won't matter. We'll be deaf.
Yes.
So, yeah, interesting qualifying session. For me, the shock of all shocks, Felipe Massa out in Q1, I know you were surprised by Pastor Maldonado not getting out of Q1, but it is what it is.
Well, that really hurt my feelings, you know. I want to see Pastor on pole and win another race.
Yeah, well, they have a Mercedes deal now. It's done. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it takes more than a Mercedes motor to get your car to the front of the spear.
Yeah, but you know, if Pastor was driving, if he was teammate to Lewis, I think he would have won 3 races and taken Lewis out in 4.
Absolutely. And he would have crashed all by himself at least 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, safe to say that. Well, you know, Hamilton's pole time of 138.513 was 1.5 seconds faster than the slowest time in Q3, which belonged to Jean-Eric Wynne at 140.020. And Seb getting knocked out in Q2 was a surprise. And of course, it's not a surprise that he's out-qualified by his teammate, Mr. Daniel Ricciardo.
Yes, Sebastian Vettel didn't get out of Q2, and 2 other drivers that have Mercedes-Benz motors behind their bootay is Nico Hülkenberg and Sergio Perez. They did not get out of Q2. So, once again, I reiterate the team effort.
Were you surprised to see local boy Daniel Kvyat on row 3 in his Toro Rosso?
No, they gave him that rare, you know, 30-year-old vodka, and everybody gets excited. Didn't pan out in the race, Nasser.
Yes, it was kind of a surprise how he dropped down in the race. But good to see both McLaren and Ferrari cars in Q3. There is hope for them.
Absolutely. Ferrari's always in Q3 most of the time. At least Fernando is, and Macho. No big surprises. This is the way the season's going to go. And this is going to be the same in Austin and Interlagos and Abu Dhabi. We're all hoping for Valtteri Bottas.
Yes, and, you know, the gap to Mercedes is still pretty big, and I think it will take some serious Asturian luck for Ferrari to get a win this year. I think the only way they can get a win, or anybody, is Lewis and Nico taking out each other. Oh, there is some serious rain in the race, you know, like we have happened in Brazil 2008. So everything gets messed up, and, you know, who knows? Felipe Massa winning a race in the rain. I think I'm going to faint for the last 10 laps.
Yeah. It's not going to happen. Fernando's not going to win this year. Kimi Raikkonen's... Ferrari's done. They have so many issues behind the scenes. I mean, Ferrari is a disaster.
Yeah, they are done for the season, that's for sure.
They are done. They don't even... And if this engine... If Toto Wolff and Mercedes don't lift this engine freeze and insist on locking everybody down Ferrari is screwed.
Yes, and you know, they will really find out next year when Nando is gone what that guy really meant to that team.
Exactly. All of a sudden, they're stuck in Q2, and people are snickering and giggling, and all of a sudden, Lauda's calling him the spaghetti team. You know, and then they'll be wearing yellow shirts, and the six-legged dog is back, and who knows what else is going to happen.
Oh, I love that Ajib dog.
Well, I'm telling you, they're in a heap of trouble, in a heap of trouble.
You know, Niki Lauda has been named as the top spaghetti salesman in the world now.
I heard. As a matter of fact, he is being sought after by Barilla and Prego.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
I think he should stay away from Sicily, though.
Well, you know, he could get rubbed out.
Yeah, they you know, they take the spaghetti and pasta very seriously.
I'm happy for them. He takes his bratwurst very seriously and his strudel.
There you go.
Thank you. So, qualifying was interesting, but barely. Kvyat comes in fifth. I was happy for Jenson Button out-qualifying Kevin Magnussen, Daniel Ricciardo. I think both Red Bulls were just having a hard time on this track. Of course, Fernando Alonso, once again, out-qualifies Kimi Raikkonen. You know, it's interesting how both Toro Rosso's always make it in the Q3, and Force India is struggling now to make it out of Q2. So interesting where it takes more than a Mercedes engine to get your act together.
Yes.
Any other thoughts on qualifying?
No, it was, you know, business as usual, the usual suspects. What do you expect?
I know, that's my point.
But, you know, it's turning out to be a fantastic season overall. I mean, just the thing in Japan with Jules Bianchi has really put a big damper on the season, and that's how the season will be remembered. But as far as racing is concerned, we are so used to last 10 exciting laps that the Russian Grand Prix was really a letdown in that sense.
It was. I mean, and you know, what can you do? It wasn't exciting. It was very almost scripted. I mean, once Nico had his lockup and made his mistake, it was pretty much done. The only excitement was, how did Nico put 62 laps on those tires? That was amazing.
That was very impressive. That was very impressive. With the car he has, I mean, I was not surprised that he finished second. But to go 52 laps or whatever it was, all the laps except for the opening on one set of tires, really surprised the hell out of Valtteri Bottas.
Yeah, he was dumbfounded. I mean, he could not even, he was having a hard time grasping it. So I thought that was very interesting, and I enjoyed it.
Which surely proves that Nico is a pretty smooth operator, and the Mercedes is a very well-balanced car.
The Mercedes is a great car. I mean, it's not just the package. That's what I've been trying to tell everybody. That car is well-balanced, well-designed. The aero package is perfect. It is what it is, and it's winning because it is what it is.
It's operating like an Adrian Newey design car.
It is, very much so, except not as fragile. And it looks like now they've got reliability in hand. We're not seeing any more electrical gremlins, as they call them. No, it's very impressive. I mean, they're going to deserve this Constructors' Championship. Lewis Hamilton will deserve his second world championship. Everybody's going to be happy. Fernando will be seen at Le Mans next year, probably, you know, hanging out. And that's it. It's over. The final curtain.
No, I think Fernando Alonso is too good of a driver to retire without a third world championship.
I think when you go visit Jules Bianchi in his room, you get a different perspective in life.
Yeah.
But what can I say? But it would have been great to have a nice big soaking, a big storm, but that didn't happen.
Yeah, it's like the summer capital of the old Soviet Union. But looked like a nice place, I have to say.
I'm going to go one day.
Yeah, it will be nice to go there, that's for sure.
There you have it. So did you enjoy the race?
Very much so, Clark, very much so. It's a Formula One race, it's a motor race. You know, the only thing is, like in the Schumacher days or the 88 McLaren Honda days, when you know the result before the race starts, it cannot be as much fun as Dijon Prenois 79. You know what I'm saying?
We don't get much Dijon Prenois anymore.
But then, you know, I mean, anything can happen. You know, it's not over till it's over. I mean, in the closing stages, As soon as Nico Rosberg was out of the picture for victory, I was thinking, you know, this could be Valtteri Bottas' first win. All it takes is a little screw up in the pit lane or some, you know, Lewis was trying to pass Pastor for the third time and they touched. These things happen, you know.
I know, but it's not going to happen. My point is, Nico and Lewis have been told, no touch, no touch, no touch. These guys obey commands. And to pit on the first lap, to go 62 laps or 52 laps, whatever it was, on the same set of tires, even Bottas thought that it was some kind of strange, weird voodoo. Well, that it was inconceivable, which meant that Bottas could not possibly do anything to win a Grand Prix this season.
Well, you know, apart from smooth driving from Nico Rosberg, I think one of the factors mentioned was that this was a brand new tarmac and, you know, they have not had a lot of races there. It's not been exposed to elements. So most of the stuff that's laid on top of these, you know, whatever it's called, was still there. So it allowed, you know, very little degradation.
Yeah. So in other words, you're telling me that the tarmac was made by Pirelli.
I think tarmac was made by Michelin.
Sky blue. But yeah, okay, yeah, I heard that. But still, I don't care what anybody says. Everybody had tire degradation except for the Mercedes. The Mercedes are cheating. I'm going to have a full investigation. There's something wrong here. I don't trust these Germans.
Would you like to see Nando at Mercedes next year?
No.
Where would you like to see him?
I'd like to see him at Renault.
Oh, Clark.
I know. Living in the past. There's no more Renault. Lotus is now powered by Mercedes. It's done. Tolman, Benetton, it's all been disbanded. The dream is over.
Yeah, there are rumors, you know, there are all sorts of rumors about Nando. One of them is that he's going to go and buy into Lotus because he knows all the people at Enstone. I don't think he's going to buy into Lotus, and going there, I don't think is a lot of key people have gone from that operation.
Yes.
I don't think going there is a good idea.
No, that's not going to happen. Fernando's not going to do that. Flavio is guiding Fernando, and he would never allow anything like this. To be honest with you, right now, Nando is at the airport. He can't leave and he can't come in. You know, he's in limbo.
You know, I cannot just even picture Flavio, Ron Dennis in the McLaren box, and Nando racing around.
I'm telling you, there's reasons why you can't picture that. Because it's like matter and antimatter.
Yeah.
You see, the two cannot meet, or the universe explodes.
Yeah, it's like the match made in Uber Hell.
Uber Hell, exactly. So no, I'm with you. We'll see what happens. But for now, right now, I think Fernando is outside looking in.
You know, one of the interesting comments made was that Nando, and we're going to find all this out in a few weeks. One of the comments made was that Nando has signed a contract with Honda, and he's coming to McLaren as a part of the Honda package.
I've heard that.
Because ever since it was announced that Honda is coming back, I've heard from very reliable Formula One sources, you know, media people, that Honda insists that they must have a star driver. And who could be a bigger star in the universe of Formula One these days than your Dios?
Very well put, Nasser.
But I have to say, Clark, as we have seen with, you know, different types of packages with Ferrari and Schumacher and Nando at mile 7, Sebastian Vettel last 4 years, If you have a package what Red Bull had last year or Mercedes have this year, then you really don't need a Nando or a Sebastian Vettel or a LCH, any of the top line drivers. And sure, there's a difference between the first half of the grid and the second half. Any of these top line drivers will bring you a championship.
Okay. Well, let me tell you about some top line drivers that were in great packages. Just a couple of names. Are you ready?
See.
Heikki Kovalainen.
No, that's not a top-line driver. I'm sorry. With all due respect to him.
Giancarlo Fisichella.
No, senor. That's Bambino.
They were in great packages. Average driver in the package was there.
No. We're talking Nando, Sebastian.
Well, Nando's are...
Kimi Raikkonen of McLaren days.
Those days are gone, Nasser.
I mean, if you put Romain Grosjean in that Mercedes, he will fight for the championship. I mean...
There's no doubt.
Maybe 30 points behind Lewis now, or 40, but, you know, he will win races. But if you put a Nando... I mean, like they were talking, you know, if Nando was driving for Red Bull, how many races would he have won last year?
Frightening.
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
But Red Bull doesn't want Fernando.
No, they don't want Fernando. And I have a feeling, and we'll talk later a bit, the max factor they have coming in, and we're not talking a lipstick here, that is going to be super, super awesome daylighting. And I'm going to tell you why later in the podcast.
Okay. Well, anyway, let's get to the race. The light goes out. Lewis Hamilton cuts across the track at the start of this fantastic Grand Prix, defending his position from Nico, maintains the lead. Rosberg dips into the slipstream and then pulls alongside his teammate. The German noses in front but tries to be the last of the late breakers. And boom! Heavy smokes. Huge lockup. He cuts the chicane. And the team tells him, you must relinquish the position, which echoed in Nico's brain for the rest of the Grand Prix. That's what I saw, Nasser.
Yes, sir. And he right away responded that he has, degradation or vibration, and he needs to come in for a new set of tires.
He pits on the first lap. Lewis Hamilton is leading. Valtteri Bottas moving into second position. Wow. A lot of cars went off at turn one, mixing the field up, and a great start for your Russian friend, Kvyat, who has dropped from fifth to seventh, but still, he's hanging in there. Could have been much, much worse. And Nico Rosberg gets on the radio and goes, hey, team, what's the strategy now?
Yes, that was interesting.
Yeah. And you're going to have to go to the end of the race on one set of tires. Yeah. Bravo, físico.
I thought, you know, I mean, it was pretty obvious it will not be, he's not going to win the race under normal circumstances. But I really, really thought that he's going to finish like 8th or 10th because he will have to make another stop. But it was not to be, Roger.
I thought he'd have to make another stop. I mean, I thought this was insane. You know, once again, I think they're cheating over there at Mercedes. I think Pirelli are giving them different tires.
I did not hear this kind of talk in 2005 and 2006.
No, you didn't. But a lot of people complained about Michelin, didn't they? A lot of crime.
Yes.
And they had spaghetti sauce in their mouth.
Yes.
Yeah, you remember that.
Yes. Remember that Steely Dan song, This is the Day of the Expanding Man? Those were the days of the expanding tires.
It was within the rules, Nasser.
That is very true.
Thank you. Lap 9, Nico Rosberg passes Marcus Ericsson for 15th position, and Felipe Massa follows through for 16th. Bravo, Felipe. Bravo, bravo, bravo. Lap 10, Fernando Alonso, who is in 4th place, by the way. not much excitement here. You know, this is pretty processional. Lap 13, Lewis Hamilton is just moving along nicely. You know, he's already planning for his party, you know, where he's going to be at L.A. What's up, S.A.?
With Nicole.
Lap 16, Felipe Massa wasting little time behind Esteban Gutierrez, one of your best friends, passing the Sauber with ease to get into 12th position. Pretty standard stuff.
I enjoyed the good scrap for fifth place in the early going between Jean-Éric Vergne and K-Mag, Kevin Magnussen.
Yeah, that was good. I have to admit.
And I like Jenson Button's response when he was told Nando was less than a second behind him, and he goes, yes, I can see him in my mirrors, which was very different than saying to the team, leave me alone, I know what I'm doing.
Which is what he should have said.
No,
really.
He's a cool cat.
Yeah, that's too cool. Come on, where's the gonads?
Oh, Jenson, JB is a classy guy.
He's classy, but no ganadas. Lap 23, Jenson Button pits from third place. It's a good stop from his McLaren team, but they fail to cover off Nico Rosberg, who sails past into seventh. Button's chances of a podium now look quite devastating. Some good stuff. Of course, we had that shocking stop for Fernando Alonso, who pitted from third. Took a long time. What was going on there? I mean, the jack man couldn't figure out what was going on. No, kept going up to the car, backing up, up. I mean, it was some kind of weird, you know, I think somebody put some alcohol in the spaghetti sauce.
No, there was some issues with the jacket, kept dropping down. And and then they were bringing the second jack, and Nando said, I got to go.
Yes, por favore. Fernando has dropped to ninth, behind his former loving teammate, El Filippo. But lap 29, Nico Rosberg is just a minute, I mean 1.3 seconds behind Valtteri Bottas, who's in third place. Very impressive stuff. You got to give it to Nico. When he's thinking, he does well.
No, no, he drove a fantastic race. I mean, it was easy to make mistakes and run into the back of other drivers. But he's a cool cat. I'll tell you, he is as cool, almost as cool as Jacques Villeneuve when he was in Formula One. And he really impressed me when he was under pressure, how cool he used to stay.
Yeah. Well, on lap 34, Nico Rosberg is really, really very quick. He's clocking the fastest lap of the race. And he's reduced the gap to Lewis Hamilton, who's in the lead, by 19 seconds. Very impressive. In the meantime, Kamui Kobayashi has retired. And you know why he's retired?
Yeah, they don't have spare parts, and they don't want to stress out the vehicle. He was confused. He was interviewed, and he was saying, I don't know. The car was perfect a Caterham can be. But it was mind-boggling for him.
Yes, in other words, the Caterham could only go 25 laps.
It's a sad story, you know.
So if they only do a half a Grand Prix to save the parts so they can make it to the next Grand Prix and do a third of a Grand Prix, so on and so forth. You can do the math.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Clark. Long, long time ago, there was a guy by the name of Leo Kinnunen, and he started, I think it was the Swedish Grand Prix, and his team knew the car would not make it, and they just wanted to do a few laps to get the prize money. And after a few laps, he comes in and tells the media something went wrong. But it's a sad story in this day and age when you have to do these things. I mean, you're traveling so far away, and you're running a few laps, and then telling a racing driver, retire. That's pretty pathetic.
It is very pathetic. But at least Vladimir Putin was snugging up with Bernie Eccleston.
That's okay, you know. I mean, a lot of people don't like him, but, you know, hey, this is motor racing. And
hey, I love Putin.
Yeah, it's the Russian Grand Prix, and if the president of the country is there, I mean, it shouldn't surprise anybody.
Hey, you know what? Putin wanted Crimea. Putin got Crimea.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, they're not the only one who has done this, so, you know.
I know, but hey, I think Canada would be a great 51st state.
There you go.
Thank you very much. Lap 38, Nico Rosberg continues to bump in the laps. He's now 16 seconds behind Lewis Hamilton. Very, very impressive. And, of course, lap 40, Lewis Hamilton says, Nico's catching up a little bit too quickly. I'm going to have to put Diana down. Very impressive. It is very impressive. But it is what it is. Lap 44, nothing's changed. Lewis Hamilton's leads. Nico Rosberg by 18 seconds. Hamilton's making a few mistakes in turn 13, locking it up, but it don't matter now. Lap 46, third place, Valtteri Bottas has got the gap to Nico Rosberg down to 4.7 seconds. With seven laps to go, Lewis Hamilton is comfortable in the lead. And Jenson Button is dropping back a little bit, but still a very good drive from the old chap. With six laps to go on lap 47, Hamilton edges closer to victory. Of course, he can smell it and the champagne all over his face. He's loving every minute of it. He knows he's going to be world champion. Very impressive stuff. But for me, the impressive stuff was that 52 laps on one set of tires. Even Pirelli has got to be pretty proud of that.
Yeah, but I think there were some extraordinary circumstances there. But again,
oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Lap 50, Daniel Ricciardo is struggling to find a way past Fernando because Fernando es el macho de España. Lewis Hamilton has backed off on lap 51 because he feels sorry for Nico. Let him catch up a little bit. Outstanding job from Lewis Hamilton. He takes the checkered flag. Nico Rosberg comes in second, and a great drive by Valtteri Bottas, who still can't believe somebody with that many laps on one set of tires could have passed him, but it did happen. It's done. Valtteri Bottas will suffer greatly because he just couldn't figure it out. But he had one silver lining. He's in Russia, and in Russia, we have vodka. Nasser, back to you.
Yes, sir. You know, one thing I did not like in the closing stages was this call for fuel for some drivers with a dozen or so laps to go. And, you know, telling Perez, Force India, absolutely critical. Then it was changed to desperate. I don't like this kind of motor racing.
I agree. But it is what it is.
That's very true, Clark. We just have to suck it up.
We are sucking it up. Look at me. How long have I been sucking it up, Nasser?
Since the end of the 2006 season.
Thank you very much, Nasser. Who's suffering the most? Who needs more therapy than anybody but me?
Nobody.
Exactly. I mean, I'm in trouble here. If Fernando doesn't win something soon, I'm done for.
Yeah, plus your beloved Renault are losing one more team, so I think life is getting really tough for you.
Not only that, but this is podcast 666.
Yeah.
Isn't that the irony of it landing on the Russian Grand Prix?
That's what I was thinking.
See? There's a method to our madness.
Yes. W is proud of you.
I know. I know. Well, it took a lot of math to get 666 to land on the Russian Grand Prix when Mercedes wins the Constructors' Championship. I mean, I'm telling you. I had to get my slide rule out, get the hypotenuse, the adjacent. Whew, I'm tired thinking about it, but there you have it. So I hope you enjoyed this Grand Prix. Now, I'm sure that you have some interesting points.
Well, let's just give the top 10 first. LCH, Nico second, Bottas third, Jenson Button fourth, Kevin Magnussen fifth, your hero Nando sixth, Ricardo seventh, Sebastian Vettel eighth. Amazing, huh? The guy who could not finish second is nowhere to be seen these days on the podium. Ninth was Kimi and 10th Sergio Perez. This is the first time this season that top five finishers are all powered by Mercedes. So a fantastic day for Mercedes in Sochi. And would you like to know the Constructors' Championship, which has already been clinched by Mercedes? And our congratulations to the boys in Stuttgart and Brixworth and Brackley. It's taking quite a bit of effort to get this thing going, you know.
You believe that?
Mercedes, 565 points. A second right now, Red Bull, 342. Third, Williams, 216. Ferrari is fourth at 188. McLaren, fifth, 143. Sixth, Force India, 123. Seventh, Toro Rosso, 29. Eighth, Lotus, with 8 points, and all coming from one driver. Any guess who that one is? Grosjean or Maldonado?
Romain Grosjean.
Bingo. And ninth is Marussia with 2 points, courtesy of Jules Bianchi's ninth place finish in Monte Carlo. LCH, why don't you just make Lewis Hamilton as your new favorite driver?
Why don't we say Autosport.com is their favorite driver? I bet you Lewis Hamilton is on the cover of the next issue. I guarantee it!
LCH has now won 4 races in a row twice this season. And the championship is far from over despite only 3 races remaining. It will be a great tragedy if a driver wins 10 races in a season and still comes second in the championship. Boy Floyd, also known as Brittany in some circles, winning in Abu Dhabi and taking the world title with Lewis not scoring due to some technical gizmachi will make him Lucky Luciano of Formula One. We don't need this kind of race sharking. The double points nonsense must go after this season. What do you say about the double points, sir?
It's really easy. Why don't we make all the races double points?
That was one of the suggestions. But then it will become like NASCAR. You know, I'm going to feel sorry for a guy who has 2,000 points.
I know.
LCH, Lewis Hamilton has now won 31 Grand Prix races, equaling the British record of R. Nige. Chances are he will catch up to his old friend Nando on 32 wins in Texas. You know what they say in the Lone Star State, hang him high. What do you think? Will it be Nico or LCH in Texas?
Oh, it'll be LCH.
Yeah, I think so.
Nico's already, he's already whipped, let me put it that way. He's broken.
Yeah.
You know, the horse has been broken, and now all he thinks about is food.
I think he's sending a text message to Nando to ask, you know, is he really that good?
No, he's not. He's lost interest. He's not even texting anymore.
Yeah. What is interesting and says a lot about LCH as a racing driver, twice he has gone down 25 points or more to his teammate this season, but has come back with his own Operation Barbarossa to now lead by 17 points. We want a great champion, not a lucky one at the end of a great season. That's my mantra for the final three races of this year.
Thank you very much. I know, Lewis, you're a real fan of Russian racing. You were back in Moscow sometimes, and now you won the first ever Russian Grand Prix since 100 years exactly. What do you feel?
See you, привет!
So happy to be here. We've had an amazing week. The fans and really the organizers. Russia's been so good to me and to the team. I'm so grateful for all the support. And I'm really looking forward to coming here many, many more times. It's not very far from where I live, so I'm going to be hopping over for some holidays for sure.
Okay, I know you're impressed by the sky resource here. Look, 17 points now. You have 17 points in front of Nico. You think it's enough or not?
Well, obviously Nico did a great job to recover from his mistake earlier on today, but you know, the car was performing really well. We did a great job as a team. It's history for us, so I feel very proud to be a part of it, me, Nico, and all the team members. To get the first Constructors' Championship for Mercedes-Benz is amazing, and so it's a beautiful day.
Do you agree with me, sir?
I concur.
Thank you, sir. Now, Nico Rosberg tried to win the race on the opening lap and is now showing the pressure of the World Championship slipping away. Drove a cool-headed race to stay in the championship hunt, which was very impressive. After leading most of the season, he is now the hunter. Only problem is his prey is outfoxing him and running away faster than Nico can. Nico's best ally now is LCH misery and mechanical meltdown, especially in the final round at Yas Marina. And this is what KK's kid had to say after the race.
Now, Nico, this was a really wonderful fight with Valtteri. You won it. Do you really think at the moment then the tires were gone, or it was a cup of bluff like in poker?
No, I mean, yeah, it was a great strategy from the team. And I mean, the thing is that our car is just unbelievable. You know, it's so good. Everybody has done such a great job building this car. And that's why, you know, half of me, of course, is extremely disappointed that I messed up today. But the other half, I'm really, really happy because everybody in the team deserves it so much. You know, and that's for them. This is the most important title of the year, is the Constructors' Championship. So that's why I can even smile a bit, because I'm happy for everybody to have achieved that.
Ladies and gentlemen, 52 laps on the same set of tires.
Your new hero, Valtteri Bottas, was on the podium again. This was his fifth podium appearance of the season, compared to only one for teammate Felipe Massa at Monza. This is very impressive. In 16 races so far this season, Bottas has scored points in 14 events, missing out on two street circuits, Monte Carlo and Singapore. It is great to see Team Willy up where it belongs. Bottas also set the fastest lap of the race on the final lap. And like we've said so many times before, he was kind of surprised that Nico could go so far on one set of medium tires. But he made an interesting comment. He said, it's nice to know for next year's race. So let's see how many laps he will do on medium set, he being Bottas next year in Sochi. In the championship, Bottas is fourth behind Daniel Ricciardo and 2 points ahead of defending and once upon a time four-time world champion, the talented Mr. Sebastian Vettel. Let's listen to this cool cat, i.e. Bottas, after the race.
Well, I need to be happy for us as a team, you know, what we've been doing since last year. It's amazing, again on the podium, so good amount of points, and yeah, we were today best of the rest. Unfortunately, Mercedes is still quite a bit ahead, but you know, we did the best we could from where we started, so we need to be happy as a team.
The inaugural Formula One Russian Grand Prix last Sunday was the third running of a Grand Prix event in Russia. Both previous events were held in St. Petersburg, which is the hometown of Comrade Putin. And I was very surprised when they announced the Russian Grand Prix will be in Sochi and not a street race in St. Petersburg. I've never been to St. Petersburg, Clark, but I am told it's a fantastic city.
Yes, I have family members that have been to St. Petersburg, and they say it's glorious. And when you use the metro stations, there is no graffiti.
Yeah, metro. I've been to Moscow, and their metro stations, man, one thing I'll tell you about, they have lighting fixtures still from the 1930s and 40s, and some of them, and this is thanks to the Germans, they go so, so deep down underground that it's unbelievable that they would dig so deep for a rail line. But, you know, obviously there was a reason. They had to be aware of Achtung all the time. Anyway, the 1913 Russian Grand Prix on June 7th was won by Russian driver Georgi Suvorin in a Benz before Benz became Mercedes-Benz. The 1914 race was held on May 31st, and the winner, again in a Benz, was German driver Willy Scholl. So this is interesting, a little bit Russian history there. In the championship table, LCH is leading the way with 291 points. Rosberg is second on 274. Third man is Daniel Ricciardo with 199. Valtteri Bottas, as we said, is fourth with 145. Sebastian Vettel completes the top five with 143. Now, I have some interesting, some teammate comparisons. And we'll start with your Dios. Nando is sixth in the championship after Sochi round with 141 points. Teammate Kimi is 12th on 47. That is pretty sad. Pretty sad. This season should really, they should get, you know, like they have this Lorenzo Bendini award given to a driver showing the most, gamesmanship and sportsmanship. They should start a new award called Fisichella of, you know, of a certain nation. So Kimi should be given the official Fisico award for 2014. Jenson Button, fighting for his seat at McLaren to stay in Formula One, is 7th, 94 points. Rookie teammate Kevin Magnussen is 10th with 49 points. But Kevin Magnussen has made enough effort and performance, good performances, that I think is, I cannot say it's secured, but I think we'll see him in Formula One quite a few years. What do you think, sir?
I have no idea anymore. I have lost complete touch with Formula One. I can't figure anything out anymore.
Okay, interesting rumor. We already talked about Nando and Seb going to walking. Let's see what happens. Nico Hülkenberg is 8th in the championship on 76 points. Teammate Sergio Perez is 11th at 47 points. Same as Kimi, but ahead of the 2007 world champion. Jean-Éric Vannes, given the boot by Toro Rosso at the end of the season, is 13th with 21 points, while his teammate, who is being promoted to the Red Bull mothership to replace Vettel, is two places down in 15th with 8 points. And six regular drivers remain pointless so far this season. There's two Sauber drivers, Adrian Sutil and Esteban Gutierrez, the two Caterham drivers, Marcus Ericsson and Kamui Kobayashi, Max Chilton from Borussia camp, and last but not the least, the one and only, Pastor Maldonado. Shall we take a break for Dr. Pepper and come back?
That's a good idea. I feel like a pepper right now.
Yes.
So we'll be back after this brief message.
Attention, Formula One fans. How would you like to have access to an all-inclusive, USA-based Formula One website that provides discounts and reviews on Formula One ticket, apparel, travel, and collectibles companies? Go to F1FanAdvisor.com and see for yourself. Whether it's finding the highest-rated Formula One memento stores, ticketing companies, or apparel stores, F1FanAdvisor.com is the place to find it. Plus, F1FanAdvisor.com has negotiated some serious discounts for USA-based fans with select companies on their site, so check it out now. And for a limited time, F1FanAdvisor.com is offering their free report, The 5 Costly Mistakes to Avoid When Purchasing Formula One Tickets, so you can avoid the ticket-buying pitfalls that most F1 fans make. Go to www.F1FanAdvisor.com to see how big of a discount you can get. It only takes seconds, and it's completely free. Get your discounts, plus the free report, The 5 Costly Mistakes to Avoid When Purchasing Formula One Tickets, absolutely free. Race to www.F1FanAdvisor.com now.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the guru himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. Headlines in Motorsports Mondial are Marquez, champion again on two wheels in MotoGP. Esteban Ocon is champion in Formula 3. Julian is joyful in Hapidos. And we have a free-for-all in the NASCAR Wonderland. We shall start with MotoGP at Motegi, a track owned by Honda, just like Suzuka, saw victory for Yamaha rider Jorge Lorenzo. Second place for Honda rider Marc Marquez gave him his second back-to-back title. This is the first time a championship has been clinched at Motegi by a Honda rider. Me so happy is Marquez. Here is a look at his record-breaking 2014 season. Marquez this season has won 11 races, equaling the record for most MotoGP victories in a single season achieved in 2002 and 2005 by the Dr. Valentino Rossi. And the season is not even over. Just like Formula One, three more races to go, but no double point jeopardy in MotoGP. Marquez is the youngest ever rider to win two consecutive championships at the age of 21 years, 237 days. Previous record was held by Mike Hillwood, who was 23 years old, plus 152 days, when he won his second successive 500cc title way back in 1963. Mike the Bike also raced in Formula One and was killed with his daughter in a road accident while on his way for some Chinese takeaway. Very sad and tragic there. This year, Marquez became the first rider since the great Giacomo Agostini in 1970 to win the opening 10 races of the season. Marquez moved up to MotoGP in 2013 and in 33 starts has won 17 races and two championships, making teammate Danny Pedrosa the Massa of MotoGP. Close, but no Habana cigars. What say you, sir, about Marquez?
Oh, fantastic talent, you know. He's the Fernando of MotoGP. You know what I'm talking about?
That is very true. Incredible, incredible racing talent.
Exactly. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Thank you, sir. From Motegi, we fly on Aeroflot Tupolev 144 back to Sochi Autodrome in Russia for Hapidos and Hapitres action. Congratulations to Julian Palmer on his championship success in GP2. He won the feature race on Saturday over Mitch Evans of New Zealand and Ferrari protege Rafael Marcello. Belgian pole sitter and McLaren young gun Stoffel Vandoorne was on his way to winning the race but missed entry to the pit lane following a safety car period and was fifth in the race. Sunday's sprint race was won by Marco Sorensen of Denmark. Vandoorne was second and cousin Felipe Nasser was third. Abu Dhabi will be the final round of GP2. Fight for second in the championship is between Felipe on 200 points and Vandoorne on 192. And Clark, I have a feeling Stoffel Vandoorne is going to be a major star in Formula One in the near future. At least that's what I think.
Well, Palmer thinks he's going to be in Formula One next year.
Yeah, but you know, well, here it is. This was fourth GP2 season for Julian Palmer, third for Felipe Nasser, and rookie season for Vandoorne, and that says it all. I will not be surprised, as far as Vandoorne is concerned, if McLaren puts him at Marussia or some other back-of-the-bus operation team, which are, you know, desperate for cash to survive. These young guns have to start somewhere. Now we go to GP3. Dean Stoneman from jolly old England won the opening race on Saturday from pole. German Marvin Kirchhofer was second and Swiss Alex Fontana third. Sunday's race 2 was won by Patrick Niederhauser of Switzerland over Stoneman in second and Kirchhofer third. Championship leader is still English driver Alex Lynn with 185 points. He was 7th in race 1 and 5th in the second race, and last year he was the winner of the prestigious Macau F3 race. This race is coming up, Macau Grand Prix. And now, you know, if you follow this race on the web, it's interesting. The commentary is like in Portuguese, English, and Chinese, so it's a lot of fun. And I will keep our family members posted when it's coming, so if anybody want to watch and enjoy the three language commentary, they'll be ready. Dean Stoneman is second in the championship with 138 points, just 1 point ahead of, let me try this one more time, Marvin Kirchhofer. I think that's the correct name. And Yas Marina will host the season finale next month. Okay, we're changing airlines now. From Sochi, we hop on Alitalia's DC-9 for a trip to Autodromo Enzo Edino Ferrari and that place called Imola, featuring Bellissimo Acqua Minerale, Alta Variante, and Tragico Tamburello. European F3 Championship has been decided. Esteban Ocon is the 2014 champion, and our congratulations to the young Francais. As per every round of the series, there were three races per weekend, and the winners were, well, we start with Ocon. He was the winner of the first race over two English youths, Jordan King, who in days gone by made a big name for himself in karting, and Tom Blomqvist. He was third. Tom won the second race, but talk of the town was drive to second place by Max Verstappen. And Max did go one better in the final race to win over Antonio Fuoco of Italy and Esteban Ocon. I watched all three races, and sure, Max is making rookie mistakes every now and then and showing his lack of experience in single-seaters. But Dr. Marco may be right about him being a talent that comes once in decades. Both Ocon and Max were rookies in Formula 3 this year. While 18-year-old Ocon has two previous seasons in single-seaters, 2014 was the first year out of karting for 16-year-old Max. And next year, he will walk into Formula 1 history at Albert Park. Season finale is this weekend at Hockenheim Ring, and all F3 races are available lap by lap on YouTube. And Clark, I watched these three races at Imola on the web. What a beautiful track Imola is. And the Acqua Minerale Alta Variante, just so beautiful. What a pure racing track should be. And here is Esteban Ocon in his own words about his young racing life so far.
I started racing at 5 years old on a small go-kart track. Before 2014, I raced in go-kart, and then in 2012, I started Formulas. My best race was last year in 2013, when I started P10 and I won the race on the slicks, and it was wet track in Torica. What I like best in motor racing is the sound of the engine, the speed, and also the battles during the race. There is nothing that I don't like in motor racing. My favorite driver is Fernando Alonso.
Last but not the least, NASCAR boys were in Charlotte, North Carolina. Kevin Harvick won the race. Brad Keselowski, who drives for Roger Penske, had some issues on the cooldown lap with Matt Kenseth and Denny Hamlin. Kenseth and Keselowski got into some boogity-boogity in the garage area. Nothing will get a driver's attention better than a NASCAR choke hole. All quality stuff available on YouTube. Mr. Rogers.
Yes, sir.
Would we have time for an interview with a young American driver racing in Europe?
I was hoping for a Greg Biffle interview.
Well, we don't have a Greg Biffle, but we do have a chit-chat with Santino Ferrucci. Santino is a 16-year-old racer from Connecticut, so he can be the Connecticut kid. Remember that?
I prefer the Kentucky kid, all right?
There you go. Santino is racing this season in the European F3 Championship. He also took part in some British F3 races and took victory at Brands Hatch. He has extensive karting background, which includes winning the U.S. Rotax Junior Championship. Last year, he won his first ever open wheel race at Homestead Wyoming Speedway and also took wins in Skip Barber Series. Our conversation took place last August at the Nürburgring. Please enjoy the conversation, and for more info, kindly visit his website, www.santinoferrucci.com. Gracias.
Okay, folks, I'm here at Nürburgring with Senior Santino Ferrucci from Connecticut. Santino, good to meet you. How are you today?
I'm very good. We had a really good race this morning, and coming off a good result, hopefully will give us the power to have another good qualifying.
Okay. You started in karting, very successful in karting. First question, what got you interested in motorsports? Was there interest in the family, or is just the Italian name?
The Italian name's part of it, but you know, I just love to go fast. I'm very fascinated by the cars, and it's very fun for me. I love the rain, especially, and you know, I've always had one goal, and you know, going fast and enjoying myself in the F3 grid is just the fun of it.
I was reading on your website, a tremendous karting success. Will you please tell our listeners what you have done in karting and how long, a little review of your karting success.
I started back in 2004, my first year in kid karts. Don't remember much, but I was doing quite well, had a couple wins, and then moved up through the ranks in America, and then I went to Europe around 2010. Spent 15 months in Great Britain with the rain, which teaches you very much. And the levels in Europe were incredibly higher, and we moved into some of the highest karting with the KF3 experience and with the CIKFAA. And we finished, I think, fifth or sixth in the championship, which is very nice for us. And then we did our last karting race was the America 2012 Rotax Grand Nationals, and just taking what I learned from Europe and applying it back to America. I mean, you learn so differently over the 3 years. We won every race, qualified on pole by about a second and a half in the wet, and I mean, it's the things you learn in Europe. The learning curve for me is a little bit steeper, but you know, I finally moved into cars. I came here once I turned 16, because you have to race with the best to learn the most and become the best. So I have never really regretted anything I've ever done, and I'm very happy where I am today.
Look, you know, in terms of karting differences in Europe and America, what was the first thing that really kind of surprised or shocked you about karting in Europe?
Mostly the how the classes were arranged. You had kids that were 11, 12 and karts a little bit faster than a 50cc engine. And it taught you all about momentum, how to carry the speed, how to brake better, how to apply the throttle better. And in America, we kind of jumped up to the fastest kart as soon as possible, instead of staying back and learning how to properly drive. And you know, I think also that for me, the competition in the European levels is unbeatable. The way everyone's brought up through the ranks, the way everybody's taught, the humbleness of it—it's just a completely different world.
And before you decided to come, this is your first season of car racing, I understand. Did you look at some U.S. series, U.S. Formula 1000, Star Mazda, before crossing the pond?
No. For me, I have a specific goal, which is, like most of the competitors here, F1, and it's impossible to make it to F1 through the American ranks. So I did some American racing, for sure. I did F2000 with a very good team, actually European-style team, HP Tech. We did really well. I only did four race weekends, and we were never outside the top five for never testing the car. And we came here and as soon as we could, because just the competition is unbeatable. The learning's unbeatable. The car development, as you can see, the car is on the jacks and just got off the scale. And the technology is also incredible. And it's very difficult to compete with a series like this with all the competition, the technology, and the competitors. It's just a completely different world.
Now, good thing about Formula 3, at least for now, they have Mercedes engine, Volkswagen power. Did you look at those combinations also, or did you just had a deal to come and race with Euro International?
I started my testing in Europe with Euro International. I had a good bond with the team, good relationship with the engineer. They happened to just become a Mercedes engine team. No effect. I really do love the people at Mercedes, though. They are very, very helpful, and they are always hardworking. so it's also a big plus. And I don't think the engine's down on any power for sure. If not, we might have a slight advantage. But, you know, the team's working hard, and it's just a learning curve for me.
I also like one person at Mercedes. What do you think of Mrs. Wolf?
I haven't met him yet.
No, Mrs. Wolf, Susie Wolf.
Susie Wolf, oh. You know, I haven't met her yet. I would like to, though, but she seems a very interesting character. But hopefully I get to meet Susie and her husband, and hopefully he gets better from his bicycle incident. But they seem like they make a great team.
Great. Okay, F3's, coming on very strong once again. I've been following this series for 30-plus years, great series. Before you decided on F3, did you look at other series like GP3, Formula Renault, 2-liter, or, there are so many other series here in Europe?
Yeah, I looked at Formula 4. I was going to plan to do Formula 4 because of the age. I couldn't do Formula 2.0 because I needed to be 16, so I wouldn't be able to start till next year. So it would have been too much time out of a car. We were going to do Formula 4 because of some of the testing. We were testing the Formula BMW with Euro, and it was going quite well, but we did one test that changed our decision in Valencia. We tested a F3 Dallara 308, and we were really, really fast. And against other top competitors, one being actually Max Verstappen. So we decided to make the big jump and go against the best in the F3 series.
Okay, like you said, you have no regrets. What has been your races you like, performances you like so far?
So far, I gotta say the German tracks are my favorite tracks. This is probably one of my most enjoyed circuits, especially the Nordschleifen. Nürburgring is really great. I love the Nürburgring race, Norris Ring. I'm a huge fan of street courses because it really brings out the true driver. But I look forward to some of the races at the end of the year. Maybe Macau, you never know. And, Spa is incredible. Getting used to Red Bull Ring, it's a very technical racetrack. But the experience on the tracks that I've never been to, including this one, is really nice.
Who's guiding your career? Family members, or do you have a professional manager?
I have a special group behind me, and they're very much helpful, GPSM, and they're helping me through the steps, and so far we've made the right choices together. I have a friend back home who's supporting me to help me race here and fund my career, Eastern Account Systems. And, so far I think everyone's been very, very happy with the decisions.
I see this sponsorship on your car, Jagonia IM. I believe they are the franchise holder for KFC. A lot of chicken wings here for you?
Yeah. I'm very good friends with them. Their sponsor matches the colors of my car, which is very nice. And, they're great people. I'm glad they're sponsoring the series, so... I mean, yeah, no problem with them at all. Actually, I love the people running the company.
I'm a huge fan of Macau Grand Prix, as I am of any other Grand Prix. It'll be great to see you race there. You don't see a lot of Americans race there. Have you ever been there?
No, actually, I've never been to China. If I'm invited to go, which I hopefully am, it'd be just an experience going to Macau on its own, let alone racing would be incredible. I've seen videos of the street circuit. It is by far probably the craziest track I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So it makes Monaco look wide, let's put it that way.
Yeah. Now, F3 Euro Series is going to a lot of countries. This is a very important question. Which circuit has the best looking chicas or grid girls?
Ooh. I want to say Austria was pretty competitive on that one. But you never know. You have to go to all the places first.
Great. Okay, if you have it your way, if things work out your way, looks like you're feeling very comfortable in Formula 3. What is your game plan or agenda for next year?
Hopefully next year we'll be back here in the FIA to run a full F3 season, considering we're only doing a half year because of the age. But further than that, I'm not really sure. I just know we have one more year here, and hopefully that goes really well.
And in between, like next, when you're doing full season, there's a big break and season don't start till like April. April or May, do you plan to do any some sort of races in the U.S.?
Actually, in the winter, I'm looking forward to the F3 New Zealand Championship. Yeah. It's a competitive championship January, February, which keeps you sharp instead of some testing. It keeps you in the race mode, so I might do some stuff back home for sure. Depends on what the sponsors would like me to do. But, you know, any racing's fun racing.
Alexander Rossi has been racing in Europe for quite a while. Are you in touch with him? Are you friends with him?
I have not been in touch with him yet, but I know he's doing pretty well. Maybe, hopefully, he'll be the U.S. driver for the new American team running by Gene Haas. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. I hope we get an American in the seat for sure.
You know, may not be the best time to bring this issue, but when I was reading about your article somehow about you, and there was also a quote a few weeks ago from Tony Stewart that he watches F3 Euro Series, and I know a lot of NASCAR drivers are fans of Formula One, which is good, but that was a surprise that a big superstar would be following F3 because of you, and he mentioned your name. What's the connection there, if I may ask?
I met Tony a bunch of years ago when Lewis Hamilton and Tony Stewart did the driver's seat swap for the F1 to the NASCAR. I was invited to go from McLaren, and I met Tony, and we had a really good connection. We both shared somewhat the same smoke personality, and, you know, he's been a great person. I go to watch some of the NASCAR races, and you know, he's awesome, and it helps me with the connection to the F1 team for sure, because Gene is his partner. But, I mean, it's just to have a friend like that is really cool.
Great. Okay, I appreciate your time. Finally, how about a message for listeners of F1 Weekly? We have listeners all over the world. What you would like to say to them? And tell them about your website also, please.
My message would be to keep watching the FIA F3 series. It's about to get really interesting with Verstappen and Ocon, and hopefully stay tuned for next year. And definitely the series is getting better and better, and it's growing, and next year I think will be a very interesting year with the new teams. And my website is www.santinoferrucci.com. It's updated pretty recently, and it's got all the Twitter, live Twitter feeds, Facebook, Instagram, and it's really fun to follow. You get some good photos for sure, and keep you updated and stay tuned.
Thank you, sir.
Nasser, thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. That was glorious. We loved every minute of it. And now I'm going to go over to the F1 Weekly Forum for some thoughts on the Russian Grand Prix. Anyway, Kei Sin says, those German cars get their 1-2 again in the usual order and give Merck their first Constructors' Championship. Meanwhile, plenty of shots of Bernie and new best pal, Putin. So we see a dangerous megalomaniac and the president of Russia in the same shot. Two megos. Ye says, dull as dishwater race reminds us we have been spoilt this season. Tires that last the entire race confirm how Pirelli have been solely responsible for creating the show. I hope history reflects Ross Braun's contribution to Mercedes' first championship. Leon Bray, quiet race after lap one. Didn't even get exciting in the last 10 laps. Hamilton ignores just about everyone in the driver's room, including Putin. And interesting to see security dudes on the podium talking into their sleeves. Bottas again demonstrates that he is the best of the rest of the Mercedes drivers and why Fred should go to Williams to replace El Filippo. Neon Zapper says, ho-hum race. I enjoyed seeing Putin's talking girlfriend and security wrestlers blocking the view of those ugly Russian podium girls backed up against the wall. Thanks, Vlad. We don't get enough of you. Oh, Koala, I really only need one word. Boring. As free as the wind blows. I thought I'd add that in there. Dr. Mark F., dull old race with Brittany cracking again at turn one, and nothing much happening after that. But the track has potential as long as they use the right tire option next year. Jackson, a picture is worth 50 words, and of course, unfortunately, Jason Jackson doesn't understand that this is a podcast and there are no video highlights on this show. So, Jason, nice try, but, well, better luck next time. Thank you very much, everyone, at the F1 Weekly Forum. I think these guys have been nipping the bourbon. Nass, there you have it. Give me your 50 words. Wrap it up.
Formula One is beautiful, and LCH hopefully will be the new world champion. But I would like to see another first-time winner this season, Valtteri Bottas, Romain Grosjean, or whoever.
Wow, why don't you just throw in Marcus Ericsson for laughs?
Yes, and Daniel Kvyat would be good too.
Not going to happen, Nasser. Are you kidding? This is all scripted. It's all in a book in Bernie's desk. Didn't you see how Lewis behaved? He ignored everybody, including the president of the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
He ignored, you know why? Because he already knows he's the world champion. He just can't wait to let it all out.
What?
His house, half of his house is filled with confetti.
Wow.
Telling you.
I thought you were going to say a rap CD's going SA.
What's up?
My homies.
Exactly. He's going to be going down. Whew. You yeah. Know,
the guy is tremendous racing talent. And all I think, Clark, is this. You know, this is how I look at this situation. We're just, and I'm speaking this as a racing fan, not as trying to take anybody's side. I mean, you look at two drivers, Esteban Gutierrez and Felipe Nasr, both drivers in their first 3 years in Europe won two championships, okay, competitive championship in pretty dominating fashion. Now they come to GP2. Esteban ran into some serious headwinds, so did Felipe Nasr. You know, it took him 3 seasons to get his first win. And then we have seen so many drivers who have made it to Formula One struggle in their first year in Formula 3. Then you have this guy, Max Verstappen, come in. He has won, I think, like 8 or 9 races this year, and he went 6 races in a row against pretty decent competition. LCH, when he came into GP2, he was not there for 3 seasons. He was 1 season and kicked everybody's booty. You know, I'm going to tell you, you got to watch that race when he passed Piquet and some other driver at Silverstone. That was super machismo, and his drive in Turkey in GP2, people still talk about it. That can only happen if you are a super-duper, like Gary Cooper kind of racing driver. I mean, just look at Marc Marquez. You just said it yourself. He's the Nando of two wheels. So, you know, we're always looking for great racing talents to come through, and there's a lot of talent coming through the system, Esteban Ocon, this and that. And it gets, the higher you go up, the harder it is to breathe. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Hülkenberg doesn't believe that. Hülkenberg thinks that the F1 cars are so easy that a caveman can drive them.
Yeah, but you know, Hülkenberg is a tremendous racing talent. But look what has happened there with all these new people coming, him being not in the right place at the right time. He probably is going to basically pushed aside by new blood coming in.
Yeah, and Fernando retiring and spending more time in Oviedo.
Yes, and paying heavy Spanish taxes, which he enjoys, which is nice of him.
That's exactly correct, because he's a humanitarian and helps his people.
Yeah, that's very important. And you know, Jenson Button, the guy made his debut in 2000. There is a chance that this will be his final season.
Yeah. Well, I heard he was caught texting my friend, and the name I haven't said for a while, Rubinho.
Well, they used to be teammates.
Exactly.
You know what they say, misery loves company.
Thank you very much. Rubinho's got a nice gift shop, and he's hiring.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So Jensen will be working the counter?
You betcha.
Wow.
So there you have it. Any predictions for the Grand Prix de Texas?
I'll be there. I look forward to meeting some F1 Weekly Familia members.
Well, I have to admit, I was checking the till as we speak over at F1 Weekly, and it looks like somebody's been confiscating funds.
Who is that, Tim?
I don't know, but somebody's going to Austin, Texas, while the president and CEO is staying home.
Wow.
Yeah, it's called embezzlement, Nasser.
Oh, wow. Time to call Elliot Spitzer to investigate.
I'm going to. Him and his sneaky girlfriend.
Yeah. Maybe you'll get a client 69 too.
Okay, so you were saying you'll be in Texas drinking champagne and caviar with Lewis Hamilton. What was that? Something?
No, that won't be happening. It will be more like Diet Pepsi with Tim and a hot dog with somebody else.
Terrific. Any predictions for Austin? I mean, go out on the limb.
No, I think it will be business as usual.
You think?
Yeah, I think so. I remember last year, Romain Grosjean did a very impressive job. I believe he was second. I was running very close to Sebastian at one time. But, things have changed, I really, very disappointed that, Esteban Gutierrez, one of the young kids we followed for many years, he is not in a competitive machinery. I'm looking at his time and performance against Adrian Sutil. He's up there with him. And that's not going to help getting a call from Signor Marchione or Mettiacci or a collect call from Woking won't be coming on this one. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. There you have it. So,
what's your prediction for Tejas?
My prediction is Caterham will actually go 30 laps.
I will be surprised if they're still racing next year. If they are stopping a driver on lap whatever it was, then you just have to wonder if they will make it to 2015.
No, they're not going to make it, but might as well race till the end. Go Kamui Kobayashi. I predict he will win in Texas.
Okay, Clark.
Well, thank you very much, Nasser. That was outstanding. I want to thank everybody who listens to the program. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.